Turn with me, if you would, now to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This morning, we looked at the last line of this psalm, the very last line of the whole psalm. David said, "Lead me in the way everlasting." That was his request. Tonight, in observance of the Lord's table, I want us to see what the Lord had to endure to accomplish David's request. And I'm going to take the title from verse 6, where David said, "This knowledge," he said, "such knowledge of God's dealing with me, all of his dealings with me, how he has dealt with me, what he had to endure to accomplish leading me into the way everlasting." He said, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." He's saying, this is more than I can fathom. This is knowledge too wonderful for me. And can't we say the same thing? This is knowledge too wonderful for us, too full of wonder. How he dealt with us. Think about that. How he dealt with us. We had to be dealt with. How he dealt with us. There's an old song that says, "When I was lost in sin and shame, how thou let me take the blame. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou was to me." He said, it's just too wonderful to comprehend. And it is. It truly is. It is too wonderful to comprehend. We know that in order for us to be led in the way everlasting, in order for us to be led to life, Christ had to be led to death. In order for us to be led in the way everlasting, Christ had to be led to Pilate. He had to be led to Herod. He had to be led to a trial that he personally did nothing to deserve. He had to be led to a conviction over something that he did not do. This man knew no sin. Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." But he had to be led to our sin. God the Father led him like a lamb to the slaughter. Led him to our sin. Laid our sin on him. And then Christ had to be led to a cross where he died on that cross. And then they took his body down. They took his glorious body down and led him. They laid him in a tomb for 3 days. In order for us to live, Christ had to die. He had to die. And his dealings with his people, in everything that took place in his death, the events that led him to his death, having some small understanding of what motivated him to do this for us, David said, "That's just too wonderful for me. That is too wonderful for me." And it is for God's people. Hearing why he laid down his life for us, that is too wonderful for us. Too high. We cannot attain unto it. Cannot grasp it. Cannot understand it. But let's just try to enter into what we can through what has been written here for us in Psalm 139, all right? David says right here in this psalm, we're about to read down through this psalm, and this is what he's saying in this psalm. He said, "The Lord knew us." The Lord knew us. And he saw us. And he possessed us. And he wrought a new work of a new creation in us. He loved us. And he thought on us. And he has promised. He's made a covenant promise that he'll keep us all the way to the end. He's made a promise to us that he'll keep us all the way to the end. That's why he died. Those reasons are why he died. We see his death in and because of each one of those things. And it's wonderful. It is full of wonder. So let's look at this together. Psalm 139, verse 1. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known. That last word me is in italics. That was added by the translator so that it would read more easily. And it does mean thou hast searched me and known me. But the way that this was originally written, I believe best says what David was saying. He said, thou hast searched me and known. That right there, that makes them this amazing. Just knowing that makes this amazing. It's too wonderful. I have some small understanding of what he has known in searching me. I have a very, very small understanding of what he knew when he searched me. If you search me out, do you know what you'll come to know? Sin. If you search me out, if you seek me and search me out, you will know my sin. You don't have to dig too deep either. You'll know my sin. David said, we might as well lay this out on the table. We might as well lay it all out on the table for all eyes to see. Because Christ, the Word Himself, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. David said, Lord, I know thou hast searched me and known. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, verse 13, it says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. He said, you may make yourself look pretty good on the outside to other men and women. But he said, God knows your heart, and he does. He does. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 1, it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Could you imagine standing in the presence of someone who could see your thoughts? Could you imagine that? He saw their thoughts. And he sees our thoughts. He knows us. This is the point that David was trying to get across. He knows us. He knows the deep things of the thoughts and intents of our hearts, which means he knows the sin. He knows the sin that we are, not just the sin that we do, but the sin that we are. Now, does that not make the fact that he would die for us full of wonder? He said, this is wonderful. Full of wonder. He died for us because he knew us. That's the reason he died for us. It's because he knew us. Go with me back to Psalm 139. Verse 1 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He said, you know every time I sit down. You know every time I stand up. He said, you know every thought I have afar off. What that means is afar off. That means in both directions. He knows what our thoughts have been. He knows what our thoughts are. And listen to this. He knows what our thoughts will be. Before we even ask the question throughout eternity, he'll tell us the answer. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows what our thoughts are going to be. Verse 3, David said, Thou compassest my path in my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Compassest. That means to winnow, to fan, to blow, to scatter, to disperse. That means you've exposed it. You have exposed all my ways. Verse 4, he said, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. He knows us. He knows us. Why did he die for us? He knows us. And he sees us. He saw us. Verse 7, David said, Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If my fear took hold on me, if I realized this knowledge that's too wonderful, and it got to me, and fear of judgment took hold on me, and I said, where am I going to go to hide from your judgment against everything you see in me and about me and on me? Where could I possibly hide from you? Verse 7, Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. David said, you have known me. You have seen me. You saw me in all of my pollution, like that story in Ezekiel. In all of our pollution cast out into the field and our own loathing. None I pitied us. But our time was a time of love. David said, thank God, amazingly, even though you knew me, even though you saw me, he goes on to say, you possessed my reins. You took control of my reins. Just like you control and lead and guide a horse with reins. David said, that's what you've done to me. That's what you've done to me. In our Lord's death, we see that he knew us. He saw us in our condition, and he possessed our reins. That's what he did when he died for us. He possessed our reins. I love the song. I quote it all the time. It says, against the God who rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high, despised the mention of his grace. Amazing, isn't it? Too proud to seek a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, almighty love, arrest that man. Take his reins. Take the reins of that man. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Just like Boaz did for Ruth, he covered her. Ruth went in begging and pleading for mercy and for his compassion and his grace. And it says he covered her with his skirt. He took ownership of her. He made a promise to her. That's what he did. He made this covenant promise of redemption to her. And David said, Lord, that's what you've done for us. That's what you did for your people. You covered us. Covered us in his own blood. He covered us. He did that before we were ever born. David said, I was secure in that covering in my mother's womb. You promised to possess our reins from eternity past. And that's exactly what he did. That's what he came and did on the cross of Calvary. He took ownership of everything that he knew in us. He knew us and he took ownership of it. He saw us and he took ownership of us. He joined himself to us and conformed himself to us. He was marred more than any man. What a horrible, tragic thing that came upon him. It came upon him because he joined himself and conformed himself to us. And in the process, he joined us and conformed us to him. Verse 14, David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. David said, it is your work. It's all your work. This marvelous thing that's happened, he said, it's your work, not ours. Yours alone. It was your work, David said, in the womb. It was your work in the tomb. You created me, and I ruined myself, and you created me again. You made a new creation. And he said, there's no doubt in my mind this was your work alone. There's no doubt in my mind you get all the glory for this alone. You get all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, all the thanks. Verse 15, he said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. That's what you saw when you looked at me. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. We were all created in Adam. All of us were created in Adam. But God's chosen people were created again in Christ. Born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. The old creation, this old man, died and went into the tomb with Christ. This old man died on the cross with Christ. He literally did join himself to us. And we died with him and we went into the tomb with him. And when the work was accomplished and Christ came out with him, so did we. We came out with him, a brand new creation. Sin is gone. Sin being put away forever. We came out a creation that was purchased by the blood of Christ, nourished by the body of Christ. We're about to read where our Lord said, and when I read that, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it now, and I'm going to say it again. Ask the Lord to let you enter into what he said when he said, "This is my body broken for you." We were nourished in his body. What he's saying is, "This is my life taken from me and passed into you. This is my health. I've taken your sickness. And my health, I give it to you. I pass it along to you. Purchased by the blood, nourished by the body, fashioned in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Made alive by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ." David said, A marvelous work took place. And Christ is the one who wrought it. God the Father knows it. All of heaven knows it. David said, "I know it too." He said, "That my soul knoweth right well." I believe David was a country man. He said, "I know that right well." He knew us. He saw us. He possessed us. He wrought the work of a new creation in us. And he loved us, and he has thought on us. He thinks. He has thought. He thinks, and he will think on us. His thoughts of his people span from eternity to eternity. His thoughts span from eternity to eternity. Look at verse 17. It says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." I was sitting on the beach a few days ago, and I was thinking about this psalm, and I was thinking about this message, and thinking about this verse. And, I just thought about how the Lord thinks on us. And I reached down and picked up a little palm full of sand. I knew better than to pick up a whole handful of sand. My feet were covered in it, and, you know, sand everywhere. Sand goes pretty deep. But I picked up a palm full of sand and I grabbed a little shell, a sharp end of a shell, and I decided I was going to count the grains of sand in my hand. Well, I immediately realized that's too much sand. That ain't going to happen. Sand is a lot smaller than you think it is. I thought I had it in my mind about how big a grain of sand is. That's about 6 or 8 grains stuck together. Once you start raking them, oh, they're so tiny. They're so tiny. And I had sand residue all over my hand, and so I dumped that out. I thought, that ain't going to happen. I got a pinch of sand, like you grab a pinch of salt. Okay, I got a pinch of sand, and I put a little pinch of sand in my hand, and I said, "I'm going to count that sand right there." And I made it to maybe a quarter of it. I got to a quarter of those grains. I stopped at 1,000. I counted 1,000 grains of sand, and it's just little itty bitty. And then I dumped that sand back onto the beach, and I looked out at all that sand as far as I could see. And I thought about all the sand that I can't see all over this world. And David said, how wonderful is it that you would die for me because you thought on me, you loved me and thought on me. He said, if I could count your thoughts toward me, it's more than the sand. He said, this is just too wonderful. It is just too wonderful. Your love and your ownership and your possession that you showed to us when you died for us. Christ died for us because he knew us. And he saw us in our condition and he possessed us. He took ownership of us. And in his love for us and in his thoughts toward us, he made a new creation. He took upon himself something that needed to be destroyed and he created something brand new. Something in his own image. And now he thinks on us and will think on us forever. Verse 17, David said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Do you know that I include myself in that group of people? That group that we just read about right there? That old man that I'm still living with in here. I include him. I include my own old flesh in that group of people that David said needs to be slain for their hatred and their enmity against God. And all of God's people do. All of God's people say anything that is contrary to that beautiful, loving, glorious God needs to be slain. Why did he die for us? We needed to be slain. All of God's people include themselves in that category. And they cry, thank God I was crucified with Christ. Thank God I was crucified with Christ. In his glorious salvation that brings, and in the righteous judgment that was owed to me for what I was. Thank God I was crucified with Christ. Thank God justice was served on me. Can't we say that? That's what needed to happen. That's what I wanted to happen. Thank God it happened in Christ. Thank God it happened in Christ. Verse 23, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what Christ did for us. That's why he did it. He knew us. He saw us. He loved us, took possession of us, wrought a work in us, thought on us, and he promised to keep us to the end. He promised to keep us all the way to the end. Knowledge of that is too wonderful. It is too wonderful for us. But in what knowledge he's given us, let's remember it. Let's remember him in taking this table together, all right? Brother Jared, you come and read for us.